Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So if you have been following this series, in the last few episodes, we have been dwelling on the beautiful poem that Bhagwan has written as part of chapter 5 of Sandhya Nivarini. The poem is a long one, has many stanzas, and this is the poem that Bhagwan wanted the Bhagwan as a bhakta to read and understand. This is the poem that Swami wanted all of us to contemplate on before he can tell us and introduce us the principle of who am I. In fact, as you read, as you think about every line of this poem, and Swami says, in fact, very clearly, that you have to spend time in trying to understand the real meaning of each word of this poem. Swami says, do not merely read the song, but think well about the meaning of its each word. And in a sense, that is what we've been trying to do. We have broken this poem into different segments, and in every episode of Vahini Satsang, we have been dwelling on just two or three stanzas. So today we will take the third segment of the song, or rather the fourth segment, and again, here we have four stanzas. So let me play for you what Bhagwan has written, the translation of the original Telugu. And then Bhagwan has sent to the studios today Brother Srinivas Rao, Brother Bhargav, and Brother K.M. Ganesh, all of whom are familiar to the regular listeners of Vahini Satsang. Brother Bhargav is from the administrative block, Brother Ganesh is from the Prashant Nilayam campus of the university, and Brother Srinivas Rao is from Bhagwan Super Speciality Hospital. So with prayers at his feet and gratitude for this yet another opportunity to contemplate on his priceless message, let's begin the session. Let's listen to him.
Oh, the puzzled education doll. Forgetting the purpose of education, you strive to just fill your belly and cry with jealousy at others' merit. Do not rejoice that your wrong desires have fructified. How can you blindfold Chitragupta, who keeps account of all your deeds? Do not be proud of your beauty, youth, and all-round agility. In not so distant future lies the deathly dance of senility. With mobility gone and sight impaired, face wrinkled with grey hair, the servants ridicule you as an old monkey, and you get irritated and shout at them.
So those are the four stanzas. And here we have Brother Bhargav and Brother Ganesh from Bhagwan's education system directly dealing with Swami's students and Bhagwan's education philosophy. And Swami is telling all of us as education dolls. But I think here, if you see, Bhagwan is stressing so much on the negative impact of jealousy.
Yes.
And of course, the central idea also being that education should not just be for fulfilling the needs of your body, and you have to spend time in the cultivation of the overall personality that yes. you are. And to me it's very interesting that Bhagwan, instead of naming any other negative trait, among all the negative traits, here Bhagwan is specifically pointing out jealousy. Education should lead to the development of character, as Bhagwan always said, end of education is character, and so many discourses on those lines. So, while education should have a higher purpose, Swami is saying the one of the most important obstacles to overcome is jealousy.
Yes. See, here we are competing with each other actually, instead of sharing the knowledge that we gain. So it's comparing with others.
Yes.
If you're not happy with somebody else gaining more knowledge than you.
Absolutely. Yes.
Actually, it should be something that should be mutually useful
to cooperation. It becomes unhealthy competition.
Yes.
Yes. And that is so much against.
Against the whole laws of spirituality, if you call it.
Yeah. The whole principle
actually,
of spirituality.
Before just coming to jealousy, just taking forward what we discussed last week, I think we spoke about Swami tells we should have students or people who pass out of the education institutions. They should be spiritually aware, socially responsible, and professionally sound.
Yes.
Actually, to sum it up, in essence, Swami has given a very beautiful, aphorism or dictum, you can call it. Swami talks about how a student or a devotee should be. Should have a head of Shankara, heart of Buddha, and hands of Janaka. So, it actually sums up everything. He says head of Shankara means spiritually aware.
Yes.
Heart of Buddha is responsible. You should have empathy towards everyone around you. And professionally sound means do your duty as a karma yoga. That's what Rajarishi Janaka was, hands of Janaka.
Yes.
And then, just to keep this in perspective, put it in perspective, the present, if you talk about the, and you brought this point of education. So if you actually see the outside world where education, actually what happens, what people do. Swami has many times told about this, that it's pottanimpukodaniki. It's only for livelihood. It's not for anything else. And Swami says it should be educare, should come out from within.
Yes.
And then there is a very interesting concept, which like in the recent times, it's gained a lot of traction now. It's called VUCA. V-U-C-A.
Yeah.
They say this is the biggest issue or a problem which any corporates or any big institutions or any industries face.
Yes.
It's called volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and last one is ambiguity.
Oh.
So basically what happens is, you know, the present internet generation, you have so many innovations happening at a breakneck speed. So you don't know what is there today, will it be relevant tomorrow or not. It becomes so difficult. And in the present scenario, to catch up with all that, there is a rat race. There is a rat race about in among the people, how to get up to date, how to get that peace of mind, how to be there, which is the most happening one. So I found a very interesting antidote to this VUCA. It's been put it as, it should be vision, understanding, clarity, and agility. These are the four things which are underlying things which can actually help you in facing these obstacles of the other VUC.
Volatility, uncertainty,
complexity, and ambiguity. So again, coming back to what Swami says about education. I just remembered one incident. I remember that, you know, this just now we had this MBA day. If you remember, we have August 21st as MBA day. MBA boys will have all very special. They'll make a nice drama and they'll call Swami. I remember when I was in MBA, that time we had made a nice drama and we were trying to call Swami. Apparently Swami was not happy with us. He was angry. No, I won't come and all that. So we're trying to try to pacify Swami. Please Swami come. So then one day I remember one Swami was going for darshan and we were all sitting and then Swami told, what happened? Why are you? Swami, please come, Swami. What should I come for? Swami, there's an MBA day. So what is MBA? So, you know, our standard answers, mind, body, atma and all that. So, Swami told all, show, he told. So, couple of days later, again the same sort of setting and then one boy might be from primary school, he knows a lot of, he's been, he's, you know, when you are in primary school, you got so many things and you intuitively, you speak something. So that day his turn came, he asked, Swami, please, we used to sit with the card and Swami, please come. Why should I come? What is MBA? So this boy, I asked him later, spontaneously he told, mind in Baba always. MBA. Like Swami actually gave a look to him, oh, this is like, you're trying, it's an artificial thing which you're telling, but the look on his face, we felt that he felt happy. Yeah, this is something which is different. It is not mind, body, atma, master business administration, anything else. So, if I actually reflect it now, whatever problems we have in life or whatever, say, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, whatever things we have, the true education, if you have that mind in Baba always, if you have that centering on him always, you don't need to get any skills for achieving anything like in that way. Okay, we agree we should have some academic skills to understand things and some concepts. But to live in life and the true education which Swami is talking about is, I felt was this. Because the day when Swami gave the smile that, yes, you are trying it to tell it out to impress me, but you have told something which is true, which is correct. Mind in Baba always. And then if you just relate it to our Swami's definition of manager,
yes.
Swami has come many times to our audiovisual room and he has given this talk. He says, mind of man, awareness of Atma. These are the two main things.
Yes.
So you should be aware that you have a mind and should be aware that everyone else has the same mind.
Yes.
Everyone else has the same mind and the same Atma.
Mm.
If that realization comes, or at least you have taken that steps to realize that, then the jealousy, see, basically I feel jealousy comes only when we feel that I am different from him.
Yes.
And Swami says, it's not that. Everything is one. All of us are one. So when you have that awareness of Atma, then the jealousy will automatically just vanish.
See, the whole education is, guided to develop more your mind, actually.
Yes.
When you have that as the focus, then you will end up having these traits that are associated with the mind. That is these type of negative traits like jealousy and competition and all these things. But the purpose of education actually is to sharpen your mind, sharpen your brains and intellect. So that you develop the ability to, compile a few words and sentences to understand what is written in the scriptures. Say. You can learn those and practice those in life and understand the purpose of existence. But here we are, it's actually, we are misusing this ability towards worldliness. So Swami says that, koti vidyalanni pottakootike.
Correct.
And he also says, chatta chadulanni chavanga netiki, chavuleni chadu chadavaraya. So all these are mainly to fill your belly, use these degrees as begging bowls. But purpose is actually to understand yourself, understand your atmic nature.
But brother, I still feel that, fine, we study here, we are talking about education, we study here, we spend 4 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, how much of our time we spend. It's not that I don't think we'll be able to achieve that. That particular knowledge where everything is one. But definitely he will sow the seeds and he will give us the opportunity to blossom. Like,
at least you have an understanding that even though whatever I am going through is important and these are the skills that are needed for me to do professionally, to earn my bread in the right manner, righteously, and in a manner that I am able to do my responsibilities in the best possible manner.
Yes.
I discharge my responsibilities. I have a family and I have to do well at my job so that whatever Swami says, if you're earning 10 rupees, you have to work for 12 rupees. So for me to deliver 100% or 120%, I will have to be someone who understands my job and develop that skill set to deliver the best. And that is the minimum. I think Swami would expect all of us, anybody who is supposed to be educated is supposed to do.
Yes.
But as brother was referring to, it should not stop there. That's what Bhagwan says, that ultimately education is something, as you refer to educare, it should lead to cultivation of the heart. Yes. And if it is just stopping at the mind, then that is where Bhagwan gave this beautiful gradation when Swami inaugurated the studio. In fact, today is Radio Sai anniversary day. And when Bhagwan came here, he sat for 40-45 minutes. And one part of the interaction on that day was centered on this aspect of education, wherein Bhagwan said that education should go through these four steps: knowledge, skill, balance, insight. Okay. Swami says, whatever you acquire, this is just knowledge in terms of whatever we are studying in the subject. So whatever knowledge of disciplines that we get, be it any art form, be it any kind of information and skill set that we acquire, this is knowledge. So Swami says knowledge can be skilled or killed.
Killed.
So only if this knowledge is used for society, then it is skilled. If you are using that knowledge largely only for selfish purposes, then that knowledge has not been used for the purpose for which it was gifted to you. So you have actually killed it.
Mm.
Only if you skill your knowledge, I have done PhD in a particular subject, and having learned in depth about this particular functionality of this animal or this plant, if I'm able to put that knowledge into use in a manner that is benefiting society,
yes,
then I have skill. Then only I can say that I've acquired a particular right. skill. Even if I am a great doctor, and if I'm using that talent only to ensure that my bank balance increases all the time, then you have, the world might tell that you are a great surgeon, but in Bhagwan's eyes, you have killed the knowledge. You have not skilled your
but
knowledge.
Still, if I ask, if I'm the one who is doing this, or what, I'm the successful doctor, if I don't know who is God, it might be I don't know who Swami, I don't know him properly. Even in that state also, if you actually see, if you actually notice or try to focus on his life, that person's life, he might be successful outwardly.
Yes.
But his heart will be empty. His heart will have some emptiness.
Yes.
There won't be that peace of mind, that satisfaction, that contentment.
True. Correct.
So that comes only when you do that empathy.
Either you have that connect with the divine.
Yes.
Or you do your work as it is.
As an offering to him.
As an offering, or you do it with so much of dedication that work is not just a means for you to earn money,
yes.
but that work is some way by which you are contributing to make the world a better place. So you want to do the best.
Yes. Actually, when Swami started the university, he was very clear, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam.
Vidyanam, yes.
So only for Adhyatma Vidya. But outside, everyone was talking about IQ, IQ, IQ. Then,
yes.
might be 20 years back, started EQ.
Yes, emotional quotient. Yeah.
Now, in the last one decade, they're talking
yes.
about SQ.
SQ, yes.
Spiritual quotient.
Yes.
But Swami was always, his basis was SQ.
Yeah.
No, because like when I speak to some of our students who come back, and they say that now the traits which people are looking at
yes.
in people is integrity,
yes.
honesty, first.
Absolutely.
Truthfulness. Mm.
Yes.
And then they say, if you have this
yes.
emotional quotient, that is soft skills, interpersonal
yes.
skills,
yes.
working in groups, that also is easily, you can teach them. And IQ, intellectual quotient, basically giving you skills, every organization does 1 year, 2 years
yes.
of training or probation. That all will teach you.
Yes.
But that inherent goodness, that inherent discipline,
yeah.
and
that nobody
honesty,
can teach.
No one can teach you.
Yes.
So mm. there, what I hear is,
yes.
our students and our people who go from here,
yes.
they excel because that's inherent in
that
what Swami has
yeah.
taught. Swami was very, very clear.
Yes.
It should be Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana.
In fact, that is very interesting what you're mentioning, brother, because some time back, I was talking to an industrialist who has set up a non-governmental organization with this dream of building people who will have the mindset like Mahatma Gandhi or Vivekananda. He thought, let me create that kind of personalities. Mm. That was his dream. So he set up this organization. And the way he does it is, he scouts around for sharp minds in Harvard, in Oxford, in reputed universities all over the world. He brings them, and then he feels, if I infuse into them ethics and values, then I would have got the best. I would have got a gem of a person. And through this person, I will bring a lot of change to humanity. So he's been doing this for almost 10 years now. But somehow, he has never satisfied with the outcome. Very recently, one of our old students met this person. And as he was talking, he was not into Bhagwan, so he was very new to Swami's teachings. But after listening to this old student, he became a little more open, and they have had many conversations. Mm-hmm. And after many days of interaction with this brother, he suddenly said, you know what, I have been doing this wrong all these years. Because I just figured that I can get the brilliant minds, but to infuse into them these values is not easy at all.
Okay.
This takes so much effort, and it is not easy. It does not happen. Instead, I should have taken from Baba's university, I should have taken students from here, and then I should have tried to give them the other skills, because those are easy to acquire.
Correct.
But to cultivate that heart is something that needs tremendous effort. And that does not happen so easily. And in our university, it is not just the college, because it is the whole ecosystem.
Ecosystem, yes, correct.
That,
just to add to your point, like
cultivates,
even Ganesh brother also agree.
Blossoms
the heart. Summer courses we have every year. So we call alumni for panel discussions. So one of them, like I had a chat with one of them, few of them. And even in the panel discussions, when they come during the summer course proceedings, they always say two things which I've just, the essence of what they have said. One is self-confidence. Like Swami always says, confidence that what I'm doing is correct, because I know what actually is goodness. And second is faith in God. They say faith in God for me is faith in Swami.
Yes.
Anywhere I go, wherever I am, whichever place I am, if I call out, he will respond. So they say education here for me is not about acquiring skills or acquiring any academic achievements or anything like that. It is more like I have that faith intact in Swami wherever I go.
Yes. And because you have that faith, you have the power to walk on the right path.
Yes.
There could be a lot of challenges when you are a person of integrity, and I think it is a common sequence of events that you would find. Any person who is so steadfast on his principles will definitely have people who will oppose. There will be people who cannot stand, as Swami says, jealousy.
Yeah.
And there will be people who cannot stomach your way of life. How can you not be like everyone else? Why do you want to be something different? And so obviously there will be challenges. And at that point in time, unless you have that confidence that the force behind me is like a mountain, it will just take me through any storm. Unless I have that confidence, I will not be able to walk on that path. And I think that is what a system like this, an environment like this sort of puts into you so strongly, that no matter what, you can walk on the path. So just to continue that, knowledge, skill, then Swami says balance. So once you have learned to skill your knowledge, then you achieve the proper balance in life.
Yes.
Balance about how much attention you have to give to every aspect of your life, how you should treat your joys and sorrows. We are talking about EQ, emotional quotient.
Mm-hmm.
I think only when you have the right emotional quotient, right discrimination, and right way of dealing with the consequences of your actions, that happens once you have learned how to skill your knowledge. And then finally, Swami says, insight.
Insight will come.
And once you have refined your discrimination, once you are emotionally stable, obviously there will be a lot of silence within, a lot of peace within, and you will listen to the voice of the divine, because intelligence does not have answers to so many of our challenges. As Albert Einstein says, most of the problems of the world are created at a plane where solutions can be found only at a plane higher than that. All the problems which are created by the mind can be solved not by the mind. It can be solved only by the heart. Mind will only keep creating new problems.
Correct.
So,
the heart causes... I also read Nisargadatta Maharaja's one statement, which says the heart crosses the abyss created by the mind.
Mind. True, true.
It's the mind that creates the
abyss, yes,
abyss,
true.
Pit.
Endless.
And we are stuck at
stuck
one end.
There. True.
The very heart helps true. To cross that.
Yes. And so where intelligence stops, intelligence becomes clueless, that's where intuition comes into play, and that is where you find solutions to problems. And I mean, it's so significant that we are discussing this today. And out of all the messages, I heard this very freshly from Bhagwan. First time I was hearing this when the studio inauguration happened. Of course, I was not there. But whenever we see this video of what is the purpose of all our learning, ultimately, Bhagwan is telling that you may work wherever you are, but if you are not using your knowledge to skill, and if that is not leading to a balanced life, then you are never going to get insight. And if you are not going to get insight, if you are not going to listen to me, then you might be doing whatever you are doing, but you are not connecting with me.
Your life will be superficial.
Yeah, it will be superficial. Yes.
Swami says now that we always tend to look outward for everything.
Yes.
We try to reach out to the moon.
Yeah.
Today only I saw one WhatsApp video. They're recreating the sun, simulating the sun.
Oh, wow.
And developing the, utilizing its power for various other power generations, whatever resources. So we are going outward more, but we do not make an attempt to go half an inch within. Angulam hridayam lok hriday sthayi lok velaru, he says.
Swami used to exhort.
If you go that little within, the insight you are talking about, the intuition, the solutions to all your dilemmas, it lies there actually.
True. So true.
After all that development of your mind and intellect, you come to know that you come to a dead end, actually. That's when you turn within, and from there blossom the solutions to everything. And there lies everything, actually, the found source.
In fact, here when I read the word jealousy, just to come back to that, Bhagwan very beautifully in a discourse says that it is asuya. Jealousy is called asuya. And Swami always used to make the distinction between asuya and anasuya. And Swami used to say that asuya is the mother for kama, krodha and dvesha. Swami used to say. So, even though among the six evil traits, Arishadavargas, as they say, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, kama is first desire, but Swami says that kama is the son of asuya. Jealousy is such a trait that it is the mother of desire, it is the mother of hatred, it is the mother of anger. And Swami used to say anasuya is the mother of Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, according to the Pauranic story, where, you know, by the sheer power of her chastity, Mother Anusuya was able to convert all the Trinity into little babies.
Correct.
And nourish them. So Swami says, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, they symbolize sahana, forbearance, prema, love, and sahanubhuti, compassion. But Asuya leads to kama, krodha, and dvesha. And very powerfully, Bhagavan says that asuya, jealousy, is like a pest which attacks the root of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Hatred is also a pest, like jealousy, but hatred will attack the branches, leaves, and fruits. But jealousy is like a pest which attacks the root. So, Swami says, when both combine, asuya and dvesha, like hatred and jealousy, if they combine, then you are completely destroyed. Because you will never be at peace continuously if you are jealous. And jealousy will always lead to all the other things. You know, Bhagavan talks about ego, anger, desire, everything comes. And if we carefully analyze, most of our desires are like that. They are born out of envy. We compare, and that is how, you know, I also want, he has, so I also want. That is how most of our wants are, actually. Isn't it, Brother Ganesh?
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking about jealousy. Unfortunately, what has happened, today, jealousy has been an old trait. It's not a new, something new to the mankind.
Absolutely.
But today we are living in a world of instant gratification. We want things like that, including success.
Yes.
So if somebody is succeeding, we also want to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But thing is, success involves a lot of hard work. And we are not, and that is one more thing. We have become lazy. So you don't want to work hard, but you want to be successful. It is almost like a childish behavior or mentality. To be successful, I mean, they say genius is a product of hard work. You might be talented. There are many talented people. But you have to work hard. You don't want to work hard. And if somebody is succeeding, and what you see is, oh, he studied just a little bit and he's getting good marks. How is it so? So, I mean, for that also, Swami has told, see, each person, no? That's where our Hindu philosophy of past, Purva Janma, is there.
Yes.
Okay, we don't know the past of an individual.
Yes.
Okay. How much hard work or what he has done, because whatever work he has done, it comes as a samskara.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we don't know that. So one thing, fundamentally, even a person who's, there are some people, like I would like to share one incident which one of our professors shared with all of us. When he came into Swami's fold, did I tell about that fish, how he gave up a fish in this satsang, in this Vahini satsang?
No, you can go on.
Okay, so one senior professor, he is from Europe, and he came, and when he came to Swami's fold, he was already in his 50s. And first thing that you do, especially if you are a jigyasu, you start reading Swami's discourses, okay? And once you pick up Swami's discourse and you start reading it, there's no stop, especially if you're a genuine jigyasu, you cannot stop.
Mm.
And he read, and suddenly one thing which Swami has told very often, that if you are my devotee, you cannot be smoking, you cannot be drinking alcohol, and you should not be eating non-vegetarian food. Simple. It's a common minimum program for the Sai devotees. Whether you like it or not, I mean, this is what Swami has told, because they will not help you in spiritual progress.
Mm.
So, and he was very fond of eating salmon fish.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right from his childhood, so now he is already into Swami's fold for the last 2 years, and this something like very strongly hit him. Now, he started praying to Swami, I want to give up this, but I'm not able to. I really want to give up eating this. I can stop all non-vegetarian food, but I have this weakness for the salmon fish. So when he went back to Europe again, he'll start eating. So the guilt started building in him. So then he prayed to Swami intensely. Okay, Swami, please help me get over this. And probably this can apply to all of us, because if not for non-veg, there are so many weaknesses that are there in each individual. We are all very mixed bag of people, and all the weaknesses are very subtle. When we look into the introspection, the mirror of our introspection, we still find that we are work in progress is still there. So what he shared with us was very interesting. He prayed to Swami one night. It is like he really broke down. Swami, what should I do? And with that feeling, he slept. And he got a dream. In the dream, he's a fish.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fish. And he sees something floating inside the water body. And the curiosity comes, what is it? Let me go and eat it. It was a fish hook actually with a bait. So he went and, mumbled it. The next thing he knows is he's in the air. And he literally experienced what a fish experiences. He said intense pain in the neck and absolute suffocation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When it is
pulled out
mm-hmm. when the fish is pulled out of the water, these two things, extreme pain in the neck and extreme suffocation, okay, and the pain was so unbearable, he woke up with that pain. He sat, and when he sat, he still had the pain. He was holding his neck like this. Okay, and the pain was so intense. And then he got an insight. Swami gave him a direct insight here. That just to satisfy your palate, your tongue, you're inflicting so much of pain into a being. That instant, he decided to leave it.
Beautiful.
Wow.
And he told, see, if you are struggling with any habit, if you pray, like Swami says, no, the Swami is told, if there is darkness, no point shooting bullets or swinging your sword, no point throwing stone, you have to light a lamp. So every problem has a unique solution. And with Sai Baba, all solutions are there. So whatever may be the problem, if your yearning is genuine that Swami, I want to get over it so that I become more near and dear to you, Swami is you. It can be a dream, it can be an incident. He'll create a situation, because God itself is a situation. When we are talking about education, universe, Swami says the universe itself is my university.
Yes.
So what I have at least experienced is whenever we read Swami's teaching, and next moment, there were days when I told, today I'll speak truth, and a situation arises like, oh my God, how God tests you the next moment, oh my God. And it is, at that moment it is convenient, and it doesn't look like a very, brutal untruth that will affect or harm anybody, but yet it is untruth, because your conscience knows, okay. And it is so insignificant in the worldly plane, but yet, because you took a resolve that I'll speak truth, it really matters a lot. So at that moment, what happens generally is, we realize that we take truth very, so much for granted. Okay, like once in the awareness class, the teacher was saying that when Rama had entrusted the responsibility to Lakshmana, that few days back only our 14,000 asuras had come, because of Surpanakha, the brothers
Kara
and Dushana had come along with 14,000 people, and they had attacked. So, please take care of Sita, because Rama had to run behind the Marichi. So, see that you don't leave Sita even for a moment.
Yes.
So, then the drama of course unfolds. Sita starts blaming when Rama, in Rama's voice, the Marichi shouts, "Oh Lakshmana, oh Sita." Exactly in, this is all Maya. Exactly in Rama's voice, and Sita threatens, says, go help your brother. Lakshmana of course knew nothing can happen to his brother, but then she started threatening, why are you not taking it seriously? Then she even told that, okay, if you're not going, I'll go. And Lakshmana had no choice but to draw that Lakshman Rekha and go, okay mother, I'll go and help Rama. Though it was like he has never disobeyed, there were three instances in his life when he had to disobey Rama. One is in this episode. The second was at the time of Kalyanam, when Rama was standing straight and Sita was not able to put the garland. So Rama told Lakshmana that, okay, lower the earth under my feet so that, because Rama will not bend. And he told, Lord, I can't do because he's Adishesha, but if he lowers, the whole earth will lower. That's not that selectively can lower Rama. That is one, which Swami only has told. And the third time when Rama had told, when Kala comes to meet Rama, that nobody should be allowed. Yes. Mm. Yet Durvasa comes and threatens that I'll burn the entire Ayodhya, and again he had no choice but to go. Sometimes I feel extreme obedience, yes, but the test he went through, he had to go through. So coming back to this episode, he says, okay, I'll go. He goes. And that's when the teacher was explaining this, one boy told, sir, just if you can stop once again, sir. See, Lakshmana knew that nothing can happen to Rama. At the same time, he was entrusted with the responsibility to take care of Sita. So, he could have as well drawn the Lakshman Rekha, took few steps and hid behind a tree. Sita will think that he has gone to see Rama. At the same time, he is following Rama's word of having a check on Sita. Mm-hmm. So, it's a win-win situation. Okay, mm-hmm. He could have done that. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, wow. This is how we think, right? Mm-hmm. In the conventional Kaliyugam. Hmm. And that's when, of course, the teacher responded beautifully. This concept of saying something and doing something did not exist in that time. If you say something, you'll do it. Now we take it for granted. You know, we tell something. Even if we know that we are not going to do, okay, we'll do. Hmm. I mean, that has become so casual. Truth has become such a casualty. You know, okay, we don't even care. Hmm. That is the Kali Prabhama or whatever. Say. That's why Swami has so many times he has emphasized truth. Speak truth. Speak truth. Hmm. Speak truth. And if you cannot, I mean, be truthful that you cannot do it.
Hmm.
So. Coming back to the whole thing, means whenever you take a resolve that Swami, I'll do this, this universe is his university, he creates a situation and you're tested. And many times Swami has told, I don't test to see, so that I have to know, because I'm Antaryami, I know where you are, what you are.
Yes.
I test so that you know where you stand.
Yes.
So, this thing about jealousy, one thing what we should understand is, if anybody is succeeding, he has put a lot of effort.
Mm.
If anybody is succeeding through unlawful mean, or he will get his part. Because I have one thing. This whole creation has been created by the creator. And he's so perfect. The karma theory is so perfect that even if the 1,000 cows are running, the calf knows where the mother is. It will go specifically to the udder of her mother.
Yes.
So we don't have to worry about the creation. Then what is the question of jealousy? Why? I mean, why? So jealousy, I mean, it should not come. But yet people complain, I'm feeling jealous, I can't do anything. Which is the mental weakness which we have to get over by genuine satsang, like this, what we are doing.
Yes.
And faith in God, but he is there to take care.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what my perspective is.
Yeah, wonderful.
Beautifully put.
Actually, Bhagwan himself says that the way to treat jealousy is only by expanding your heart. Only by cultivating love. I mean, there is no other way. I mean, you become so full of love that there is no more hatred. And when there is no jealousy and hatred, Swami says, then there is ananda. Think of a person who does not hate anyone. Mm. No hatred and no jealousy. It means that you are happy not only for all the good things that are happening to you, but happy for every good thing that is happening to every other person.
Every other person.
So you will always be in ananda only.
Mm.
So today if Ganesh gets a PhD, you are very happy. And tomorrow Bhargav gets a certificate from his boss, so you are very happy. And day after, your boss in the hospital appreciates you, and that's why I am happy. So every day I have so many reasons to feel happy that where is the chance for sorrow? Even if something untoward has happened in my life, that is just one insignificant thing about when I compare with this, so many good things that have happened to so many people around me.
Hmm.
So I have like a million reasons to feel happy all the time actually.
I have found one thing, brother. Jealousy, no? Generally comes in a zone. There's something like professional jealousy. Okay.
Yes.
Like, I'm not jealous of Hussein Bolt. I know I can't run like him. Okay. I know. He's like, if somebody is too excellent in a particular field. But what happens jealousy generally comes with the people who are in the same field.
Yes.
If somebody is extremely good, you will not be jealous because, oh my God, he's the God. We
beyond,
watch
I can't compare.
And if somebody is not, of course. But if somebody is like, you know, if he's just better than you, the jealousy crops up.
Yes.
Same thing applies in the financial thing also. If you are, you know, this prestige thing you want to maintain, you know, you got a car, now you think, I can buy a... Suddenly he gets a Ferrari, you will say, okay, oh my God. I mean, you will not... I mean, again, it has got a zone. So the whole thing is, no, that comparison comes with people whom you think, one is at what plane you're comparing, financial or maybe professional. The second thing is people who are just better than you. Okay.
Yes.
Not extremely better than you, just mm-hmm. better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes real because you have a thing that I have to compete and go ahead. And this is how the education is today, where if a boy gets 49 out of 50, the other person is told you should have got 50 out of 50. So this conditioning has gone so deep.
Yeah.
A boy who's getting 20 out of 50 will not be jealous of a guy who's getting 49 out of 50. That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But a boy who has got 48 out of 50 will be jealous of a boy who got 49 out of 50.
Yes.
He'll go to the teacher and say, I can get one mark here.
Yes.
Okay, so the comparison is with the people who are just better than
true.
Us. So that is one thing, no, which we have to...
So that comparison should lead to inspiration.
Inspiration. That is the right way.
Yes.
That is, and how inspiration should translate into more hard work.
More action.
And if you're working hard, if you're spending 12 hours, then you spend 13 hours.
Yes.
You have to stretch. You have to get out of the laziness.
Yes.
There are people who have actually put a string and tied their hair. So that if they're feeling sleepy, you know, it'll hurt. And again, there are people. If they have gone to that level, yes, you do it.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's a very cheap way of, like, you know, childish, I would say. It is.
Yes.
You've been silly to yourself.
True. Absolutely.
Very well said, actually.
So that's what Bhagavan says, that even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that, O Arjuna, be free from the evil of jealousy, become a anasuyaka. Swami says you should become an anasuyaka, means one who has no jealousy. In fact, another very powerful statement that I read, Bhagavan has mentioned, is total elimination of jealousy is a primary requisite for any sadhaka, Swami says.
Mm.
It's one of the primary requisites for any sadhaka.
One thing I want to just immediately say, what I've heard is the worst kind of jealousy is spiritual jealousy.
Yeah.
The worst kind of thing. And especially, I mean, to all the Sai brothers and sisters and all of us, one thing, let us always, I've gone through that phase. I will not say jealousy, but it is like one thing which hit me and which has gone very deep is Satya Sai Baba is God. He knows what to give, when to give, where to give, how to give to each individual. Yet in our limited understanding, we think, Swami was there physically. Why Swami is talking to him so much?
Yes.
Okay, why Swami is giving him so much of attention? Why Swami is ignoring me?
There is no instant happiness sometimes. Swami has not spoken to me for 10 days. And every day I'm praying. And the 11th day Swami speaks to K.M. Ganesh. I don't instantly feel happy for that. You know, instant thought is, what is this Swami?
What is this Swami? Kuch log Swami ke bete hain aur kuch log se bete hain. We used to say that. Okay? Some who are Swami's sons and some are simply sitting. Okay? Kuch bete hain, kuch bete hain. I mean, these are like... And also, because Swami will come in the car, but then we are praying Swami should look this side.
Yes.
That other side was Swami should look.
Yes.
But anyway, it was for God, so it had its own sanctity in the sense,
because
the central focus is Swami and Swami takes care.
Yes.
But in sadhana, no, is something you might be doing Gayatri, you might be doing any sadhana, you might be doing seva. No sadhana is less. Whenever a sadhaka, a devotee is trying to connect with God, whatever path he may choose, he is putting his sincerity and it is between him and his God. We are nobody to judge anybody's devotion. Yet, if some miracle happens, or something happens, you know, and other thing is not to attract jealousy. Some people, know, something happens, they'll want to put it in Facebook or they want to make a big advertisement out of it. Come, they're inviting jealousy. Come. I mean, that is one more foolishness.
Yes.
See, the best way to avoid jealousy is don't show too much. Don't show off, the first thing.
Yes.
Don't need to make a big publicity out of it. No, it's between you and God. It is so sacred, it's so precious. Why you want to put it in the market?
Share only if that is going to help the world.
If it is going to inspire, I mean.
Inspire, yes.
Otherwise it is...
Recently, like, as you told, childishness. Recently in Telugu anniversary, Simple Living, I think there was a topic on that. I interacted with few youth who had come. One person, one boy has come from Hyderabad. He was sharing, like, same thing, jealousy. There was a topic of jealousy. He was sharing his experience. It's like, you are surprised. Wow, something like this also happens. So, it seems he went to one ceremony, a marriage ceremony or something. Very known, very close, known auntie. She was very upset. She was attending the ceremony, but she was very upset. He went and asked, auntie, what happened? Why are you so upset? She was not able to talk. She was telling, no, my mood is out. What's the problem? Why are you not happy? What is happening? Such a nice occasion. It's such a beautiful celebration. I was like surprised when he told me. She told me, you know what? I had been planning for the last 1 month to wear this sari. I had bought it and I was wearing this today. You know what? The other lady wore the same sari. I'm so upset. I'm so jealous of her. So this boy was like, really? this happens. When you go to that levels of childishness, every small thing. So what Swami always says is, whenever you start spirituality, it's not that you have to do, oh my God, like Hanuman goes and lifts the whole Sanjeevani and gets it. No. At a very, very small, mundane level, every small aspect, every small thought of yours, if you control and try to put it, divert it towards God. Then you will slowly be on this path. If we just see this example, the same auntie, if she does, what is there? Same thing, what are you discussing? What is there? She is also wearing beautiful, nice sari, same sari. So nice actually, such a nice coincidence. Both of us are wearing the same sari, let's be happy.
So if she had just gone, congratulated her and told you're looking so beautiful. And that lady probably would have told her also, you also look so beautiful, and everybody would have seen and they are told, both of you look so beautiful. Then that's it, you know, that evening would have been so beautiful for all actually.
And it was like so bad, she felt so miserable the whole evening because someone else wears the same sari. It's like, so... This is quite real actually. If you see in the world, it's very real. But
I think people in the world, I would think, spend at least 40 to 50% of their income, especially when you're living in cities and you have all these communities where you want to be part of. You spend nearly half of your income just to do things so that you can belong to that community.
To impress others.
To impress others. All the time. I mean, if you are buying this car, not because you need this car, because you just want this car to be parked in front of your house. That's all.
Yes. that shows your status.
No, in the same car, in the traffic of Bangalore, if you get stuck for 1 hour, you curse the same car. Why am I in the car? The same car you curse again.
Yeah. But generally, I think, and it is only because constantly you want... this ratification from others about yourself and this comparison which is not leading to inspiration.
Yes.
Leading to perspiration.
No, that does, you know what the need is. If Swami never said don't have car.
Yes.
Or anything, a house.
Oh yes.
It's a need, yes. But if it is to impress others and trying to, you will of course invite jealousy.
Yes.
Of course, and there's no end to it.
Absolutely.
No end to it.
Absolutely.
And the first thing that jealousy takes away is your peace of mind.
Yes.
If you have everything under the earth, under the sun, but if you don't have peace of mind, what's the point?
That's what Swami, in fact, very rightly Swami says, that it is because of jealousy that man is prey to ashanti. As you said, peacelessness. Mm-hmm. It is only because of that. Because, you know, as you said, you know, I have done something, say I have written one article, now somebody else wrote one article and that article has become very popular. Now, even though I have written an article which, till yesterday I was so happy about it, that I have written this article, but just because another person's article has become more popular, today I am miserable actually. That's what generally happens most of the time. Okay, I have done a PhD, but my PhD had just 10 reviews and now another person's PhD, it has been hailed as one of the best work ever done. Then that bothers me.
See, at the same time, no, we are not saying that we should be complacent.
No, that I should take the inspiration.
Yes, inspiration.
No, I should think that next time when I write an article, what is it that I can learn from this person?
Yes.
What has he done right that I did not do? You know, what can I do so that I can serve the world better? I can have something which will help me and help everyone better. How can I improve my skill set, gift that God has given? I think if we think like that, then that occasion is not an occasion for me to feel depressed. It becomes a moment of learning.
Yes.
A moment of learning for me to become better.
Yeah.
In fact, just like Swami told, if a person is a non-believer, he doesn't believe in God, and you try to instill faith in him, by trying to do that, there is a chance he might shake your own faith.
Oh yes.
Okay. So never go near. It's actually toxin.
Yes.
Same thing with a jealous person. No point. You know, it's like you're not abandoning them, but when you have given your try as a friend or as a well-wisher once or twice or thrice or 10 times. Leave it.
Yes.
Then it's better to be away rather than, you know, because jealousy is a toxin.
Oh, yes.
It's a very dangerous toxin.
Yes.
So
see, when we become aware of our, wrong nature, that is some trait like jealousy, how do I overcome that? I become aware now. All the while I was not aware. How do I overcome? What is this?
First thing what comes in my mind is the fact that you've come to that awareness itself is God's grace.
Yes.
God's blessing. So now comes the prayer. Comes the prayer, because the fact that a person is able to admit in his own eyes is that he is willing to leave the prison which he is holding all while obliviously. The fact that now I see, okay, oh my God, I am only holding that trait of jealousy. All you have to do is let go.
See, that is the moment actually.
That is
to
the
seize
moment.
And offer that.
Offer that.
Yes.
Lord. And of course, you have to be more kind. You have to be more, you should share the love that God has given with you. You should be a more loving person, more compassionate person. That sort of helps you.
Practically, that is the key,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
You have to expand your love.
Expand your
heart. I think that is the way, like, even if both of us are doing PhD and this person's PhD has received much more acclamation than mine, I should not have any problem in going and congratulating him and do it from my heart, saying that, you know, I'm really so happy that your work has, you know, that person also will feel so good.
That's right. So Jesus says, love thy neighbor.
Yeah.
The jealousy,
yeah.
See, it's either the neighbor or your immediate relatives, okay? Or probably they say they were the best of the friends, they became the worst of the enemies now, okay? Because somewhere the jealousy has come.
Yes.
The thing is, it is not that we have to change the world, it is something, a change which you have to bring in yourself. Okay, and that is by first, you know, acknowledging, one is acknowledging to yourself, and whomever you're feeling jealous to, you should go out and speak.
Speak.
Actually, speak.
I feel that is a very practical and important tip, wherein, you know, what generally happens is you want to maintain distance.
Yes.
You don't want to talk, you know, you feel, okay, he's very different, you know, and I'm different.
Why, you know, brother, we become very vulnerable. See, most of us are we are afraid to be vulnerable. See, when you are going in front of a person whom you had enmity for so many years, to go and say, see, let us stop. I want to stop it from my side. Come, let us hug as brothers. Let us bring back that love. You become vulnerable because there's always a chance to get lost. He can reject you. We are always afraid of rejection.
Yes.
But if we are ready, see, all that matters is what you are in front of your conscience. He might reject, he might close the door on your face. Doesn't matter. You did your part.
Yes.
For the rest of your life, no. You are at peace that you listen to your conscience. Doesn't matter if he accepted or not. If he accepts, great. If he doesn't, you're true to your conscience, you're right to your conscience.
But more often than not, that person actually will feel very happy.
Yes.
More
yes.
often than not.
More than,
actually,
yes.
99% of the time, you know, because you're only going and congratulating him. Even if it is not coming from your heart, he'll only feel happy.
Actually, these things are actually eating us also like pests.
Yeah, they eat us.
From within.
Yes.
They cause a lot of ill health also.
In fact,
yes,
the positive...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's a
I read about one system of healing called bark flower remedies. These are all the flowers that represent the opposite of these negative traits. Like you have jealousy. Jealousy, for that there is a cure through one flower. Essence of the flower, if you take that, it will heal this negative trait actually. It will turn to the positive of it. Behind all this negative, there is a positive. It's an opportunity for you to, you know, fall back into the positive of it.
Wow. Fantastic.
Correct. Beautiful.
In fact, what
Beautiful.
Can also happen is once you go and congratulate that person or share your happiness about that other person's achievement, he'll be in fact so happy that next time he will not think of you as an adversary, he will make you a partner.
Absolutely.
And together probably you can do much better things. He will probably be very happy to share the tips.
Yeah.
Till now you had not known some of the things that he had known, and he will be more forthcoming to share his knowledge, share his ideas with you, and that's how there is so much more harmony. Many times I feel this also happens with leadership, you know, be it in such an organization or any organization for that matter. You know, we are all the time so afraid of projecting the good of someone else, because sometimes we feel he will get off more prominence, or
yeah,
that is a fear. And it is for this reason that sometimes you, even if a youngster is doing so much work, you will find an elder not projecting that person. Because, you know, there is a sense of insecurity, there is a sense of jealousy. It happens everywhere. But what we do not realize is the way for me to rise is by lifting others, not by subduing others.
Mm-hmm.
I will rise if I support that youngster today.
Yeah.
That youngster, tomorrow, even if he has taken over the reins of the organization or whichever company you are running, he will be grateful to you. He will respect you till the end of his career. Because he will feel, here is a man who supported me.
Even if he had exceeded him.
Yeah, even if he has exceeded him, he will always have that respect.
Yes.
Tomorrow, when he becomes a president, he will call you for the function.
Yes.
You know, but if all the time you were so reticent to talk about him, and even if there is some genuine good work he's done, but you don't want to talk about him, so tomorrow when he gets that position, he will also try to
not involve you
in anything. So many times I feel that if we have that openness to accept another's contribution, another's achievement, then there are more reasons that we will become better in what we are doing. With time, we will gain more respect.
More self-respect. Actually.
More self-respect. And we will find more reasons to be happy, more occasions to be involved in many things.
Well, one thing I want to quickly add here, brother, because whether the individual whom you have supported, he goes, even if he forgets,
yeah.
Okay, even if he doesn't give you the attention, it doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, see, one of my classmates told very beautifully, I still remember, when he said some things, you know, God speaks.
Mm.
He says, I cannot make everyone happy, but at least I can keep my conscience happy.
Yeah.
See, one thing is there, if your conscience, the same conscience is there in everyone. If your conscience is happy, because when you are helping anybody or when you are ready to become vulnerable and open your heart, it really doesn't matter how the person behaves or reacts. Really doesn't matter. You are doing it without any conditions applied. You know, don't condition. And that is one thing Swami told us, whether it is Satkarma or Namasmarana, even when you are doing Namasmarana, with, of course, winning God's grace, don't even do it for winning grace. You do it.
Do it. Yeah.
Just for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
You are doing Satkarma, do it.
Yeah.
Don't have even an expectation that it's like a glass rod. Half it is filled with sugar, other half it is filled with salt. When you push that, when you're putting sugar from the sugar side, the salt might come. Salt was already there. You might think I'm doing good things, but bad things are happening. Yes, but don't stop.
Yes.
Patience. Okay, patience is all the strength a devotee or a boy should have. You keep putting sugar. A day will come when the whole salt will come out and only sugar will come. We have to have the patience.
Yes.
Like a seed, we were talking about education and educare. A seed is there. We put the soil, we put the water, we put air, make it aerated, we put the sunlight, and what comes out is?
Yes.
It comes out as a plant and a flower. But if the seed is impatient, okay, if it wants immediate to be blossoming, it has a period.
Yes.
And that is where, as a sadhaka or as a devotee, we should have patience. The first quality is patience.
Mm.
And keep doing good, irrespective of whether we are getting good result or bad result.
Yes.
Just do good. That's it.
Yes.
And be accountable, answerable to conscience, that is God. Simple. That's all. Rest all is like all conditions, if and buts and analysis. It's not in our hand. It's not in our hand. Simple thing is, I love you, God. I want to be good. That's it.
True.
I mean, that's what...
Fantastic. In fact, if you look at these four stanzas, there are so many more ideas.
I think we covered only one today.
We covered only one.
That too, one jealousy only.
Yeah, but I think probably we'll have to continue this, because I think there are two, three other very important central ideas that Bhagavan has mentioned in this segment of 5.4. In fact, I started off saying that, you know, we are trying to spend enough time contemplating on every word, because Swami has said very clearly that think well on the meaning of every word. And as I started, I said that, you know, though I said this, but in every episode we are taking four stanzas. But today we spent time discussing one stanza only. So I hope,
because education itself is so vast.
It's an ocean. Absolutely. Yeah.
The seed example actually is educare, no? What blossoms from.
Absolutely.
And if the weeds of all jealousy, anger, everything comes.
True, yes.
It goes.
It gets lost. So true. So dear listeners, I hope that we have given enough pointers for you to think, and I hope you got something out of this which you can take into your daily life, so that our lives are filled with less of asuya, and as Bhagavan says, more of ananda, and there is less of ashanti, more of prashanti. That is how our lives should be. So let's pray that whatever be the weakness, once we go to Bhagavan and pray, Swami, please show me this weakness and give me the strength to get over this. Bhagavan is only waiting to hold our hands and take us on the path, because Bhagavan is all the time eager to help us on this path. As Swami says, I give you what you want, so that one day you will want what I want to give you, and this is what He really, really wants to give us. So let us go to Him and ask for this, and see how Bhagavan holds our hand and takes us through this so happily, so merrily. Thank you so much. As always, if you have any queries, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sadam.